Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest.
Stoke, you said something in the previous segment near the top of it, actually two segments back, about Bradley Roby. You said Bradley Roby's struggling right now, but hopefully he bounces back this weekend. Bradley Roby's playing this weekend?
Oh, he's not? Why wouldn't he play?
He's a no-show for practice.
I wouldn't practice. It's just a little meeting.
No show for the meeting.
Just a little meeting. Happens all the time. No biggie. Did anybody notice?
I heard, just a little bit. Just a little bit. I heard some of the other former NFL guys on this station. Stink yesterday. This morning, in fact, because yesterday morning, we didn't know the scenario by the time they signed off the air. So this morning was Stink's fresh take on it. And basically, he was like, Vance Joseph needs to sit him down. Don't care what the secondary looks like. Don't care about the numbers. You sit him down because you have to have some order of principle.
That's true.
Alfred Williams yesterday afternoon.
I heard Big Al kind of sounding off on it.
He put it on Elway. He said this is okay. John's thing. He's the general manager.
Right.
He's ultimately the buck stops here guy. But he needs to sit him down. Both of them went about it two different ways, but both said he's getting sat down because you can't just no-show practice.
Right.
Your take on it is what? Or meeting. Whatever.
A little bit different, but, just a little meeting.
But the
day after the game that you got smoked.
It's important.
Right? Yeah, I know. Right? I'm just messing with you. Just messing with you.
Relax. What do you do if you're the coach?
Well, if you're Vance Joseph, think about it. Put yourself in his shoes. Okay,
it's a tough spot. Bradley Roby has put Vance Joseph in a tough spot.
Right. That's right. Your job's on the line. Who do we have? Who's on the depth chart at cornerback? Somebody, tell me.
Isaac Yadam.
And Chris Harris, and who else? That's healthy. I mean, Tremaine Brock, is he healthy? He's been hurt. I mean, I can't count on that guy to go through a full game. I think he's back practicing today. Pac-Man Jones, is it? But Tremaine Brock, I mean, you can't count on him to play a full game. So how many cornerbacks do we have right now on the roster? Somebody. Bueller. Anybody. Chris Harris. Bradley Roby. Isaac Yadam. And then you got the two hurt old guys. Tremaine Brock and Adam Jones. Is that it? Do we have just five?
That's it. I think, right?
I can't think of another name.
No.
You got Brendan Langley on the practice squad.
Is he still on the practice squad?
I thought so.
I thought they cut him.
I thought he was on the practice squad.
Regardless, he's not in the mix.
Right. I mean, you could always bring him up. But, I mean, that's a dire situation. You're playing the Rams this week. Nothing that could get your season back on track and going in the right direction again and forgetting about that three-game losing streak, then you win this football game. Do you want to bench your starting cornerback?
No, you
don't
want to.
I understand that he just got toasted. He looked awful. Okay, but he's the best you got. Okay. And you put yourself in a really tough situation defensively against the aerial attack that I saw yesterday reports that Rams are hopeful they get Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks back.
That's right.
And you're going to be short on cornerbacks and you're going to be without one of your starters. He's a starter for a reason, okay? Because he's the best of the rest of the bunch, okay? So if I'm Vance Joseph, it's a tough, tough situation. Your job's on the line, man. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when your job's on the line?
Do you set aside your principles?
Sometimes you do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you overlook things.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line in this business, in this profession, and say, you know what? Hey, you bring him into your office and say, you screwed me. You put me in a tough situation here. I'm pissed, okay? But my hands are tied right here. Now, I'm finding you the max, whatever that is, 8, 10 grand, 20, whatever it is, I'm finding you the max. But you put me in a tough situation. Don't do it again.
Apologize in front of the team?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You roll him out there and tell him this isn't acceptable. He's been fined. We're going to handle this in-house. This is not acceptable. Blah, 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 right? But I don't think any way possible in this situation that you can sit him down because of the circumstances. And I know, you know, people will be like, well, that shouldn't dictate, you know, how you handle the locker room and the team. But the facts are the facts. You need to win this football game. And if you get embarrassed, you might be gone.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to think about it from his perspective. Now, if John Elway comes to him and says, hey, we're sitting his tail down, we're suspending him for the week or whatever, then you do it. But if John's not on board with it, if John's okay with him playing as a head coach and you're trying to, you know, fight for your survival, I'm not suspending him. Would you? And it's easy. It's easy to say yes in our chair, in our situation. But when you go home to your family and you go to your home, to your house that you like living in, you like this city, that, you know, you play college football down the road, and you realize that he's the best that you have, and you really have a, you know, decline from him to the other two guys, now make your decision. You just got embarrassed by the Jets, and you're playing the high-flying L.A. Rams. Do you want to get embarrassed again?
You want to know what? I feel conflicted about this, but when push comes to shove, and I'm not saying this to be agreeable with you, when push comes to shove, and it was my arse on the line, and my career trajectory will change if I get fired, I probably find him the max. I'd probably make it clear to the media that he was fine the max and apologize in front of the team and it was unacceptable and do every other recourse I could possibly think of. Have him run sprints, do whatever I have to do. But at the end of the day, he's probably suiting up.
And guys have missed meetings before and not get suspended. So it's not like, you know, he had this egregious mistake and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, he did this and did that. You know, he has to be suspended. Guys have been late. Guys have missed meetings and they haven't got suspended. So it's not like a precedent has been set with Vance Joseph not suspending Bradley Roby. That's not the case. It happens all the time. Guys get out of line and sometimes media hears about it. Sometimes they don't hear about it. Okay. And it's handled in-house. Hey, look, you're getting fined, $20,000. Hey, you don't want to get fined $20,000, okay? I don't care how much money he's making. So it hurts. You get the point across. And then also you got to know your team. You got to have a pulse on your team. You got to have a pulse on that player. You know, is he constantly getting out of line? Is he constantly making mistakes? Well, then maybe you do suspend him and just say, screw it.
But by all accounts, he's been walking the straight and narrow since he's been here.
I mean, this guy, you know, we see him out there every day. He works hard. He hasn't been in trouble. We haven't heard any issues about Bradley Roby at all. Wish that he would have played better last week. But it hasn't been awful this season for Bradley Roby, has it? I mean, has he been getting torched left and right this year?
Not like he did on Sunday.
Right. So he had a bad game. Listen, everybody has bad games. I've seen Tom Brady have bad games. Peyton Manning had bad games. I even had one or two. You know, so it happens.
You're such an idiot.
It happens, though, okay? So he had a bad game. And then, you know what usually happens? Like, after I had a bad game, and I did. I had a bunch of bad games. I wasn't having two of them. I promise you that. Okay? I was coming out with my hair on fire. Okay? And that's what I'm expecting from Bradley Roby, because I saw that from him last year. When he had a down game and not such a good game and got burned a couple of times, that next game he came out and played so much better. So that's what I'm expecting to see from him. And to think that this mistake that he made, not showing up to meetings or showing up late, saying he was sick, whatever it was, right? Not being there when he was supposed to be there, is like the first time this stuff has ever happened. And, you know, when it does happen, guys are getting suspended. That's not the case. I mean, come on, let's be real here.
If he goes out and has a pick on Sunday, we'll forget pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
Midway
if he goes
through
out
the first
there and
quarter,
locks down Brandon Cooks and gives himself a pick six and this team wins a football game.
I just wonder if Vance, the way things are going, can... this is a tricky one, man. This is a tricky one. This is a tricky one.
And I guarantee you the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, is probably blowing up, suspend him, you know, because it's easy for us to say driving in the cars or sitting behind the mic, but, you know, that stuff happens a lot. And sometimes you hear about it, sometimes you don't hear about it.
Well, Bradley Roby was a first-round pick. Okay, let's look at John Elway's first round picks within the context of 2018. We'll do it next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a two-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest for more details.
You know, we're talking about John Elway, and, you know, I heard a promo as we were signing out of the last segment from Mike Evans saying, hey, hold on.
Was it Mike Evans talking crazy again?
No, it was Mike Evans being real.
Oh.
It was like, you hear a lot of the pitchforks and circled around Vance Joseph without any real acknowledgement that this was John's guy. You don't hear that a lot. But this was John's guy. He pointed out a couple of years in advance, tried to get him, couldn't get him, and then got him on the second time. And that's part of the conversation that has to be had when I hear the vitriol surrounding Vance. And he deserves a lot of it. I mean, believe me, you listen to this program, you know. But at the same time, we got to distribute the criticism.
Absolutely. Look, and I don't think John has gone unscathed in all of this. Now, maybe we haven't, and a lot of people have kind of overlooked him and gone more towards Vance. But, look, we've been very critical of John Elway and some of the decisions he's made and some of the drafts that he's had. They've been awful. Free agency-wise, has been awful as of late. You know, he did have a good little streak going there. You know, when you got Tlaib and T.J. Ward and, those guys,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what led you to a Super Bowl. But after that, it's been really, cupboard's been bare, right? You've missed free agency and the draft. So, you know, we've been very critical of John. And it looks like this year they had a good draft. But, you know, do you have that linchpin? You got to have that linchpin. Got to have that quarterback.
Yep.
And not finding that quarterback is what's really hurting this franchise right now.
The two most important responsibilities of a guy in the position of John Elway are what? If I were to just ask you off the top, I know what they are for me. If what are the two most important things that a guy like John Elway has to figure out?
You got to have your head coach and your quarterback.
Bingo.
Ding, ding. Both.
Bingo.
We're on the same page.
We get that little yes sound. There we go. You go ding.
That's not a yes sound. That's a ding sound.
Well, it's saying yes.
Oh, okay. In agreement there. But that's what you got to find. And, you know, John Fox was a good hire. He got it to a certain point. And John Elway, you know, look, he made a move there and made a decision to move on from John Fox when the Broncos were very successful, and it paid dividends.
It did.
Right? But now you're looking at the post-Peyton Manning era, and you haven't been able to find a quarterback. You've had a long time. You've had a long time to try to find the successor. Started in 2012 when you had Peyton. You went to Brock. Then you went to Paxton. Trevor. Case now. Is Case going to be the answer here? I don't see that happening. He might turn out to be a solid quarterback, but that's it. I mean, he's not the future. He's not going to be the franchise quarterback. I just don't see that happening at all for him. So you're going to be needing to look for a quarterback, and you got to find one. Head coach wise, you know, I mean, let's be real. You're probably going to be looking for one of those also. You're on a 3-game losing streak. You just lost to the New York Jets. So I don't think John Elway has gone unscathed, especially on this program. We've been critical of him and his decisions, his drafts, his mistakes. And he is the one that hired Vance Joseph. And he is the one that put together that roster last year when you look back and say, wow, I don't know if Vince Lombardi could have won with that thing.
Let's take a look at the first-round draft picks under John. Von Miller. Now, there is room for interpretation here with that one. Depending on who you listen to, depending on whose opinion you gauge, whether John Elway gets credit for drafting Von Miller is cloudy. Okay? For the sake of, well, let me just ask you, are you cool with that?
I mean, do you only say on air, I'm not cool with it? I mean, I got no choice to say, yeah, I'm cool with it. I mean, there's, you know, you back me in the corner. Are you cool with me asking that question? And you ask me that on air? I got to say, yeah, sure I am. like I'm going to say, yes, sure I am, as I'm shaking my head. No, go ahead. I don't care.
John Elway get credit for drafting
Von
Miller.
You got to. Look, I mean, that guy's in charge. He's not, like I said, you know, when people, on our station are saying, you know, Mike McCoy and this guy and that guy were standing on the table telling John Elway to, you know, draft this guy or that guy and go get this guy. I need him. And I'm like, seriously, you think John Elway's going to listen to an assistant coach tell him who to draft and who to sign? Like, he'll take their advice, but if he doesn't, you know, if he's not in sync with that, and if he doesn't agree with that, you think he's going to draft that guy? Because Bill Magazoo, the offensive line coach, told him to draft, you know, Tyson Bryant or whatever? No, he's not going to do that. John's going to do what John wants to do. And he's going to draft and select who he wants to draft and select. Okay? So, going back to Von Miller, when John was in charge and you have the number two overall pick, yeah, John's making sure he's going to draft who he wants to draft, okay? And, yeah, he had, you know, Brian Sanders was still here and whatever, but you think John's going to listen to Brian Sanders? Brian Sanders say, hey, draft this guy, and John wants to draft Von Miller. You think he's going to listen to that guy? No. So you got to give him credit for drafting Von Miller.
Let's go through the rest of these because this is a complicated discussion. And I want to go through the rest of these. We will go live to Dove Valley when that time comes. Very interesting press conference coming up with Vance Joseph.
Oh, yeah, big one. You know, talking about Bradley Roby.
Oh, yeah. Changes.
Whoa.
Supposed to be coming.
What was that?
That was my Bowie.
Oh,
that was my
God.
Change of time.
Okay, that's better. But that was
change.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
Let's take a break and tackle the rest of this when we come back.
People! Oh, look at you!
Was that right?
Yes!
Okay, good. I was hoping.
I love it. We're going to go live to Dove Valley any second. But before we do that, we'll bail out of whatever conversation we're having to go to Vance. But we were talking about John Elway's first round draft picks. Within the context of 2018, the hindsight. Von Miller, that thing worked. He's gonna do a cartwheel into Canton. Okay, haven't seen much from him lately. Would like to see
him. He's been hibernating. You know, wintertime's here. He's been hibernating. Let's go, Von.
And by the way, oh man, we're gonna get down another rabbit hole.
No, let's go right here.
Because I want to get back to Von and the narrative that's been put out there from Dove Valley that's just flat out false. Shout out to Cecil all over the math. And you wanted to watch tape before we came in here
today.
Right.
I didn't realize, you know, great minds think alike, Cecil and I. I wanted to really actually watch and see how many times did Von actually get double teamed. I mean, seriously, because they put it out last year, like, our receivers are getting doubled and bracketed. And I went back and watched film, like, not really. You know, so, like, how many times is Von actually getting, you know, doubled and chipped?
Sorry, screw it. No, we're going to do this right now.
Oh, no, because, really? Right now? Yeah,
yes.
I want to go through these first rounders. Bust. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. When Vance goes up there and says, look, there's not much we can do. He's being chipped. He's being double chipped. The chip chip. The old ruffle movement.
Oh.
Right?
The chip chip.
He's getting chip
double
chip.
Chip.
Did you know that Von Miller was doubled or chipped on 4 out of 46 snaps? That's it. So here's my thing. Does Vance actually believe what he's saying, or is he making excuses for him?
Well, I think he's sticking up for his player. I mean, Vance knows the stats. He's watched the film, okay? And, you know, you have your stars' backs. Even when they play bad or they're not living up to what they should be doing or what you expect them to be doing, you have your players back. Okay, that's what coaches do. So I don't fault Vance for spinning that narrative at all. That's what I would do. Right? I got my guys back. We need him to play better. Now, in the team meeting, you might say, Ivan, we need more from you.
So
you got to give us more.
That was my next question.
See, I already knew that. That's why I answered it.
That's chemistry.
That is.
Does Vance have the, I don't know what the right word is, clout, equity, to, in that meeting, say, Von Miller, like the way you're talking about Mike Shanahan calling Brandon Marshall out, or the
Matt
wide
Lepsis,
receiver,
yeah.
Matt Lepsis? And I mean, does he stop this tape and say, Von, look, we need you to be successful. We need more than this right here with the laser pointer. We need more than this.
Yeah, I would hope so. You know, maybe not Vance Joseph last year, but Vance Joseph this year, my back's against the wall, yeah. I'm calling everybody. I'm holding everybody accountable for their actions and for their play. And if it's not good enough, I don't care who you are. Von Miller, Case Keenum, Demaryius, Emmanuel. Look, I'm calling you out. We need better. We need more. Okay? And if you're going to call out the 40th man on the roster for, you know, making a foolish penalty or, you know, Garrett Bowles holding. Bowles, you can't be holding. We can't have these penalties. They're killing us. Case, you know, we can't have these interceptions. Von, we got to get more pressure. We got to be more consistent. Defensive, Chris Harris, Bradley Roby, Darian Stewart. Why did we not make this tackle on the 77-yard run? We you know, you got to hold everybody accountable. You got to call everybody out. You got to bring it attention to it.
You know, someone brought something to my attention earlier this morning. Von Miller doesn't have a sack in the last four games against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's that's the standard in the division right now. That's the team that you have to try to knock off. And Von Miller, for four straight games, that's two straight years of playing a division rival where he hasn't been able to register a sack. Three straight games without really, really... game.
And I don't understand it, you know, because, you know, you look at certain players and you look at Khalil Mack, but you look at two other guys, Sunday Night Football, Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt, and you can throw, is it DeMarcus Lawrence, the defensive end for the Cowboys, throw him in the mix too, right? You don't think teams game plan for those guys? You don't think teams look at the Houston Texans and say, okay, look at Clowney and look at Watt. We got to double. We got to chip these guys. We can't let these guys make an impact. Look at DeMarcus Lawrence. What other pass rushers do the Cowboys have? Gregory? Yeah, no, nobody. You don't think they say, we got to stop this guy? But I still see them making an impact week in and week out, being in the backfield, causing disruptions. I haven't seen that from Von enough. And then when you go back and you watch the film and you get the numbers and you said he's only been doubled or chipped, you know, four times out of 40-something plays.
46.
Yeah, look, and I understand sometimes as a defensive lineman and as a lineman, when you're taking three-step drops, it's frustrating. Because, you know, once you take three steps up the field, the ball's out of his hands. And you see Von sometimes playing those three-step drops. And you saw him during the game get up and bat the ball up in the air, nice play. But sometimes that has an impact on your performance and how you do play the rest of the plays. When all of a sudden they do have a seven-step drop and you are one-on-one and you're not coming off the ball the same way because you're expecting a three-step drop. We need more from Von Miller. And I think Von would agree with you with us,
sure,
in that. And in Broncos country, I think we just haven't seen enough from him. As of late, you started the season on fire.
He did.
Well, what's the difference between that game and every other game? We need more from Von Miller. This defense needs more. The Broncos need more.
And it's sort of like a prerequisite, isn't it? That if you were going to be successful this year, Von Miller had to be Von Miller.
And he was that first game.
What did he put up? Three sacks in the first two games.
Yep.
Four sacks in the first two games. Three in the very first game against the Seahawks.
I think he had a forced fumble too in that game,
right?
He did.
So, we got to find a way to maximize his talents.
This coach and staff does. Joe Woods, Vance Joseph, I mean, that's what we heard a lot of, didn't we? We heard a lot that we'll have a plan. We'll have a plan. Well, didn't we hear that?
We did. No. Okay.
Well, where is this plan then? Where is it? Where is this plan to get pressure on the quarterback? I haven't seen it. I haven't seen Von Miller come down, doing anything different than staying outside, trying to go around the edge there. And, sometimes he's losing containment and not getting pressure. I just haven't seen him moving around. Put him over the guard. And let's do a little bit more with Von Miller, because obviously we need to do something different.
And it was supposed to be Chubb. Now Chubb's on the other side. It's...
Oh, Katie bar the door.
The formula. All right. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we will hear from Vance Joseph. We'll go there live next. Case Keenum speaking to the media.
Those kill drives, we move the ball and then get down there and go backwards. So, those are all things we need to fix, and we're going to get better at, because, you need to come away with 7 points down there most of the time, when you don't, you need to be, if you have 3 points in your pocket, you need to take it.
It's obviously didn't affect the result, but that play from Cortland at the end of the game to kind of prevent a big six there, is that something that resonates with you and the rest of the team?
Yeah, I mean, our last drive there, I mean, there's, as far as, winning the ball game there, it's going to take a lot of things to happen. And man, for a guy like that, the guy actually threw the ball to, run all the way down there and make a tackle. That shows a lot about who he is. And, I really appreciate that. Not just for like what happened on the play, but just the type of guy he is. And man, I'll line up and go fight with those guys any day. All those guys on the offensive side, man, there's no quit in any of those guys. And, it was good to see that in their eyes on the sideline. And then, going out there, driving down the field late like that, and making plays, I think that shows a lot about those guys.
Case Leonard claims, I think, said something after the game. You were confused. Did you see his comments or anything like that?
Yeah. No, Patrick mentioned something to me. It's the NFL. Defenses are talented. Those guys are on scholarship too. So, that's something that, they had a good game plan, and, they got back there a few times. A lot of those sacks are on me. So I take, full credit and responsibility for those issues. But, I wasn't uncomfortable back there. I mean, it wasn't, deal.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, I wasn't uncomfortable. I mean, I've got total trust in my offensive line. All those guys, they have played, tremendous. And, like I said, I take sacks on me. That's my responsibility.
Are there different challenges in facing the interior pressure as opposed to guys coming off the edge?
Yeah, different week is, it's different guys. I mean, obviously this D line is stout, and there's first rounders all over it. So, we know that, we've got our work cut out for us just getting the ball off. So, we've played these guys. I know these guys. I've played with these guys. So I know that they're talented, disruptive, explosive, and they can, they can do that on any play. So, we have to go in there and play a clean game. I have to make sure I get the ball out on time, know where the ball needs to go, and play a good, clean game.
On Monday, Vance said that you guys don't go into a game counting runs, but with the success you've had with Royce and Phillip and what they're able to do, would you like to run the ball a little bit more?
If it calls for it, if that's... if that's what the defense has given us. I think Bill does a great job of, depending on what type of defense we can expect or what they're giving us, and what we feel good about what we do. I think we feel good about running or passing the ball, and then, trying to maybe mix it up a few times. But, I think our guys are, those young backs are doing a great job running the ball. So I think continuing that is going to be key to our success.
You talked about how this offense is close, kind of starting to take off. How much would it change with hitting a couple of deep balls, whether it's off the play action or just in general? Would that kind of change the complexion so it doesn't feel like you're trudging and having to go 12, 13 plays every time?
Yeah, I mean, there's different, schools of thought, sometimes we have shots called, and, shot call is not necessarily a shot taken. If it's not there, I want to check it down and, make something out of it. I think we've had a good share of explosive plays, run and pass, but, for us, it's just execution, and I'm getting tired of saying that we're close, because, we've got to be better, and it starts with me. It really does. I mean, I've got to get the ball to the right place. I've got to get the ball out. I've got to get the ball accurately to the right place and let those guys, we have so many weapons, I've got to let those guys hunt and go do what they do.
If it snows, they're calling for snow the first half, I guess, in this game. Are you
kind of loves it, has fun playing in the snow, or do you...
Yeah, it was awesome today. I mean, that was fun. Those were, it started out like a wintry mix. Is that what you would call that? To big flurries. We had some big flurries. Yeah, nothing really. I did, yeah. But it didn't stick, which is, not what I'm used to. So I'm used to trying to drive through it and shovel through it. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm down for whatever. It makes for good pictures.
You're a glove guy? Do you wear gloves?
Nope. No, just what God gave me.
Nice. Anything else, guys?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was Case Keenum right now.
They asked him about the glove thing, which is interesting because we talked about that, Big Al brought it up after the Ravens game. You brought it up. And after I went back and looked at some of those throws, it looked different.
It did.
So didn't know if it was his grip or what was going on, but the ball was coming out differently. So they asked him about wearing a glove. He's like, no. So apparently it doesn't feel different to him. Apparently there's no real big issue there. We'll see if the weather's inclement and if it does bother him, if it looks different. I'll be paying a lot more attention to it, though.
Yeah, yeah, and I hope our listeners do as well, because when we put the film side by side and we did it as a group and we looked at just how it looks 1 week to the next, and what did we pull up? Was it the Seahawks game we pulled up or was it the Raiders game? I forget, but it was a good weather day,
right?
Versus him playing in Baltimore, and it looked different. So see if that holds up. Let's hear from the head coach, Vance Joseph.
Well, it's an explosive unit. They average almost 415 yards a game, 34 points a game, and obviously, the halfback's a great player. It starts with him as far as his own running scheme, and the pass game is built off that. The quarterback's playing really well. He's hot. And they've got three really good receivers in Cooper Kupp and Woods and Cook. So it's going to be a challenge. It's not our first challenge on defense versus offense like that. I mean, we played Kansas City, very similar setup. But we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a nice challenge, and no one stopped them. So it's our turn to see if we can.
How do those receivers vary in terms of what they can do?
How do they vary? They're all three different. Cooper Kupp's a very crafty third down target. He's a good football player. Woods is the same way. He was a guy we played against in Buffalo, and he was traded there last year. He's having a great year, and obviously, Cook is the deep threat, so there's three guys you have to cover. They base out of three wide, so they force you to be in nickel or dime every play. So, again, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a nice challenge, and no one stopped them yet.
Did you have that necessary?
Sure.
Are you at liberty to sit with any of those changes?
I'm not, guys. And I tell you what, when you're not winning football games, you have to do something different. How we meet, how we look at game plans, how we call games, all those things are being looked at. So when I say changes, I mean we have to make changes to go win games. Okay, so things are happening. I can't share those things, but when you don't win, you have to make some changes.
Does Joe Woods lead the play calling effort on Sunday?
Joe's the coordinator, so he's calling the plays.
Do you feel like you have the right leadership within the locker room of guys to kind of turn around things?
I do. I believe in our guys. We have guys who won a lot of games, so they're frustrated. I am also, Nikki, so, I'm not down on our guys for being frustrated, for working hard out here every day we work and not winning football games. So that's understandable. We want to win football games, so we all share in the frustration levels.
Can you draw on the success you had against Kansas City and the preparation for that and anything against
It's a different offense, same challenge, obviously, but a different offense, different quarterback, different play caller, but the same challenge to get them stopped.
Coach Musgrave last year, how tough do you think it was for him last week? And is he back, up to speed again this week?
It was tough, obviously, losing his father. And the service was Monday. He's back with us. And he's back, and he's doing fine. But obviously, losing your dad is tough. Doesn't matter how old you are. Mr. B and Joe gave him the plan to go down, so it kind of saved some time with game planning. So he flew down and flew back quickly. So he got back to work really fast on Tuesday, but again, it's still tough for him.
Regardless of what happened with Bradley on Monday, his performance wasn't what you guys wanted.
It was not.
Just been inconsistent. Would you look to help him different schematically or see if Brock's ready?
Okay. Well, that being said, you know, anyone who plays this weekend, we have to help each other. You know, it's going to be a total team effort. You know, Roby didn't play his best on Sunday. You know, I mean, that's obvious. But he played pretty good a week before. So we have to get him back and keep coaching him. He's ours. Okay, he's our guy. So we'll get him back to playing good football.
You coached Stu down in Miami. What sort of compliment has he been next to Aaron Donald?
He's playing good football. I mean, he's a big man. He's a bully. He's an outside rusher for them. That's been impressive to watch him rush on the edge. He's got 3 total sacks. He's a pro. He's the first guy in, last one to leave. So I'm not surprised he's playing well. I'm not.
I know you mentioned Bob has been chipped and doubled quite a bit. Do you need to see more on him on game days to be more capable of touchdowns?
Not by himself. You know, I mean, he has to play better. I have to coach better. Case has to play better. You know, it's all of us, you know. And when you're playing big games, like Sunday's going to be a big game for us, your best players have to make plays, and he understands that. You know, so he wants to make plays for us. You know, when he's one-on-one, he has to win. You know, and we have a plan to get him, you know, more attempts of being one-on-one, but he has to play well for us to win. He understands that each week.
What's going on in the red zone? You guys just have not been as close since kind of the first
year. Well, it's third downs. You know, every drive in the red zone this week, or even in the scoring zone, have been, you know, third and long. So we settled for field goals, or we got pushed back with penalties, had to punt. So it's more about converting third downs and keeping third downs more manageable.
How do you balance rushing down versus being aware of what Gurley can do in the screen game?
Well, that's a challenge, you know, because Goff hadn't been hit. He's got about 6 sacks and about 30 pressures, you know, on his season. So he hadn't been hit. He has experience offensive line. The ball's coming out really quick. The play action pass kind of keeps your rushers at bay a little bit. But, you know, and Todd Gurley in the screen game. So you got to picture moments, you know, to where you rush more than 4 guys so you won't get beat by screens and by the play pass.
Thank you. Some guys in the league have said when McVay structures things, he messes with your eyes.
I agree. I mean, it's going to be a game where we had to be disciplined with our eyes. It's a lot of jet motions. It's a lot of sweeps. It's a lot of crossing routes. So absolutely, that's accurate. You know, so he definitely tests your discipline. You know, so we have to be that way on Sunday to play well against his offense. But again, no one's stopped him yet. So we'll see. It's our turn.
A few more for the coach.
Going back to Roby, will he start Sunday?
Right now, he is the starter. Yes.
Was the communication with you or with other people?
With everyone.
All right, that was...
There you go, I like it. It took a while to get to Roby, and, you know, his absence yesterday, I'm like, oh, we're going to get there or what?
Was thinking the same thing.
They got there, and I like how he addressed it. You know, when they asked him, you know, was the communication there with, you know, what was the miscommunication? He's like, with everybody. So, plain and simple. And, you know, I'm sure they handle it in, you know... within the doors of UC Health over there, like they should, right? Does he need to be suspended? Probably not. This stuff happens a lot. You're going to need him.
Wait, it happens a lot?
Yeah,
you played in like 15 years. You said it happened once?
What? I thought you asked me about players only meeting.
Oh.
You didn't ask me about how many times guys have been late.
Okay, no. Not late.
Well, yeah.
No call, no show.
No call, no. He showed up at some point, didn't he?
You were in the league for 15 years. How many times did that happen?
I don't know. I have to go back, and most of the time I probably forgot. I mean, that's a long time ago. I forget things.
You just retired a couple years ago.
5 years ago.
Well?
It's a long time ago. Right. I mean, when I first started playing, it was 99. It's almost 20 years ago.
Wouldn't it stick out? Like, if someone was a no-call, no-show that was a starter on your team, wouldn't you?
Most of the time, yeah, you're right. Most of the time, look, I worried about myself. Taking care of my responsibilities. Guy was late. Hey, I'm going to let the team handle that. They'll handle it, and hopefully he's ready to play on Sunday. It happens, though. I mean, does it happen every week? No. But that stuff happens, okay? Things come up. I mean, I've seen, you know, meetings where guys taking Gatorade bottles and throwing it at the projector screen, all right? I mean, you handle it in-house, you move on. Guy was hot. Bradley Roby made a mistake. You know, overslept, whatever, sick, not sick. He didn't show up when he was supposed to show up.
Period.
These types of things happen sometimes, okay? You find him, we need to move on. Denver Broncos football team, right? He's going to play Sunday. That's the bottom line. And Vance said, you know, we've got to just, he's our guy. That's right. He's your guy. He said he didn't play very good this past week, but he played pretty good the week before. You're going to need him this Sunday to play at a high level. Okay. They asked him if he was going to be the starter. He said, yeah. Right now he is.
He's a starter.
Right now he is. So things can change. We'll see. But just to suspend him, that's not going to happen. And they need him. They need him to play better.
That's really the bottom line. You need to win football games.
I heard it again. And I banged the table.
With Vaughn.
Yeah.
Yep.
I heard it again. And I talked about it earlier. And you keep hearing this. But I don't see it. We'll have a plan. We'll have a plan. That's what they keep saying. That's what Vance keeps saying about Von Miller. We'll have a plan for him. Well, what's the plan? Just keep lining him up on outside and you just keep rushing him? He keeps getting chipped. He doesn't get chipped. He doesn't get pressure. What is the plan to help Von Miller out? I'm waiting for it. I haven't seen anything different. No schematic differences from week to week. Von Miller just lines his tail up on the outside, and they just rush him around the edge. Haven't seen a lot of twists, a lot of stunts. Haven't seen him over the guard, you know, change things up that way. I mean, if I saw more of that, I could say, okay, they're trying everything here to free him up. Because if you listen to him, they're telling us that he's getting chipped and doubled and tripled and quadrupled, and, you know, guys are coming off the bench to double him.
Simply not true.
Simply not true. But I keep also hearing we'll have a plan. I'm waiting for that plan. Because he's right. Vance is right. In big game, you need your best players. That's what he said. Like Colorado Rockies, you know, when I called those guys out, your best players have to show up in those moments, in those games. And they didn't do it for the Rockies, and Von Miller's not doing it enough. And you talk about a big game. You talk about a high-profile offense. You talk about an offense that likes to throw the football. And the same things I heard about Jared Goff just now.
It's the same thing you heard about Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
I
look at us.
Look at it.
Look at us. He's not getting hit.
He hasn't been hit yet.
And they came out and they did a great job against Mahomes
for
three quarters.
They did.
They flushed him out of the pocket. They got to him. But, you know, in the end, he was just too good. Okay? So you're going to need these guys to get pressure on Jared Goff. I mean, that's how you equalize this great offense. You know, you start talking about all these weapons, but, you know, when it comes back down to it, is a quarterback protected? Usually the quarterback's protected when you're throwing the football all around the place.
Right.
So can you get after the quarterback? And like Van said, you can't just sit there and say we're going to blitz, blitz, blitz.
No, they will kill you. And teams have tried to do that to them, and I've seen it. And what they do is they do those little dump-offs. They do those little screens, and it's Todd Gurley on the left sideline with a blocker, and they go for 28 yards.
Or 78 yards.
Yeah.
So you're exactly right.
Well, there was one question that I've had all week that got stonewalled by Vance, and I'll tell you exactly what it is, but first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a two-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/businesscontest for more details.